you pray with me and for me as we do so. Amen.
Amen.
Today we greet you in the full liberty that the Lord's Spirit has imparted unto the saints by the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, I am reminded that this month is the month that we consider to be breast cancer awareness. And I want to send a shout out, a reminder to all of my sisters to make sure that you're doing the things that you need to do to take care of yourselves, which includes having mammograms performed as often as need to be done. And this month is always humbling because it reminds me of my older sister Viv, who passed away from breast cancer. So it's something that I am sensitive to. And there's not probably a greater pain that I've ever seen in my life than to see parents who have to grieve a child that they've lost. And my sister passed away in her 50s. On September 19th, so many years ago. But she still resonates in my heart and in my mind along with my family. And so I want to encourage each of you and my brothers as well. Brothers, make sure we're checking that prostate. The Bible says that we are studied to show ourselves approved. And when you read 2 Timothy 2 and 15, it does not limit study to the Bible. In fact, when Paul wrote that, the Bible as we know it, the King James Version, was not even in existence. But study everything. Study all things and study even your body. So, sisters and brothers, let us continue to be aware of how we can take care of ourselves. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 says that now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Before the Lord Jesus ascended to his rightful place in heaven, he promised us that the Father would be sending another Comforter, who we know is the Holy Ghost. The saints of God by faith have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of each of them. There is no conjuring necessary because the scriptures declare that the saints are individually and collectively the temple of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, the word says, know you not that your body is, and I'm paraphrasing, if you will, the living temple and walking tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. Family, we are the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the body of Christ. And we are living in the very presence of God because the Holy Spirit is already abiding in us as new creations in Christ Jesus. There is no need to usher in his presence because he is already in our midst. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in their very midst. I believe that he is right now in our very midst. And being filled with the Holy Ghost in the spirit of our mind assures us in knowing that Jesus is always a resident in place. A resident in place. He is always at home with us because of the Holy Spirit within us. And that same Holy Spirit who is now abiding in us and empowering each of us to have a remarkable, a special, an anointed liberty to perform greater works in God's perfect will. Greater is he, greater is he, greater is he, greater is he that is in us than those who are in this world and in this current age. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, we greet you and we just remind you that it's okay to exercise your liberty in Christ. From this point forward, in this moment, and in this very hour, we are now being quickened and awakened in the very presence of God, because the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In this moment, all of us have full and complete access to God, and we can boldly enter into the holiest place because the blood of Jesus Christ. So we speak to the mountain of legalism and say, be thou removed. We speak to the mountain of archaic and ungodly traditions and say, be thou removed. We speak to the mountain of pledging allegiance to anyone or anything above our commitment and our loyalty to Christ and say, be thou removed. And to each and every mountain before us, there is an obstacle, a hindrance, a weight, a sin that will keep us from doing God's perfect will. We say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea of no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue, every diagnosis, every last financial statement that you saw, every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants and the saints of the Lord, and their righteousness is of God. So he said, not me, but saith the Lord. In this place, in this sanctuary, wherever you are, in the sanctuary and in the presence of God, and on this call, in our respective gifts and callings, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So walk free. Think free. Praise free. Pray free. Study free. Live free. Be free. Whom the Son is set free is free indeed. In the freedom of the Holy Ghost, I ask you to turn with me. Chapter 13 of St. John, verses 1 through 8. And I read the blessed word of God. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter. Peter said unto Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. On this past week, as we continue to study 13th chapter of St. John, the Holy Spirit has continued to pour out how awesome and how amazing the Lord Jesus is, and what a powerful example that he left with us to consider. Jesus never ghosted, if you will. never ghosted, never ghosted, never ghosted his friends. He loved them unto the end. All of us that are on this calling, and so many, I'm sure, around the world, all of us need to be connected and to be encircled by a great cloud of witnesses of those who are true to us, those who care for us, those who love us. It's difficult to have relationships and even more difficult to call, to truly call someone a friend. A friend will love at all times. A friend is born for adversity. A friend will stick closer than a brother, closer than a sister. Have you ever called someone or emailed someone or texted someone or reached out to someone and they didn't reply? Have you ever been ghosted? Do you recall how that made you feel and what it caused you to think or caused you to say or caused you to do? I am certain that more often than not, it didn't make any of us feel good. And at times, it took the Holy Ghost to restrain us from simply just going off, because you know what I've done for you, and you know what kind of relationship I have, and if I'm calling you, I'm calling you for a reason, or I'm texting you for a reason, and if I'm emailing you, I'm emailing you for a reason, and I'm looking for a response. None of us ever want to be on the receiving end of having reached out to someone, especially a leader, especially a loved one, especially a family member, especially a so-called friend, but in return, coldly and unlovingly, you're met with dead silence. Not even a kind gesture to just acknowledge your existence. At times, it's hard to swallow this bitter pill that, especially when the truth comes, and he shows up. And I say he because the truth is in Jesus. Truth is not a concept. Truth is the reality and the person of Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. So when truth comes, he shows us the reality that we often are better friends to others than they are to us. It is a tough pill to swallow. Here we are trying to live according to the word and trying to apply the word to our own lives, only to be met with such uncaring and nonchalant attitudes that we simply don't matter. We don't exist. But Lord, these are the questions that we may have in our minds. But Lord, I know you said that those who have friends must first show themselves friendly. So why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why am I being treated this way? Thank you so much. So it's a difficult pill to swallow when you're going through in real time, man. And you're in the throes of shock and denial to admit that you have not been recognized. But on today, this bright and glorious day in Tallahassee, the hymn is speaking in my ear and to my heart. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And the second verse says this: have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble in any way? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And the final verse goes like this. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, steal our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. So in our text this morning, we see a friend like no other. What a friend we have in Jesus. A friend that would take off his garment and preach to us a powerful truth without saying a single word, by simply getting on his knees to perform the role of a servant, a leader, but at the same time still a friend, a leader, but at the same time still a friend who would get on his knees to thoroughly wash and carefully dry the feet of his friend. Who comes to us? I'm talking about Jesus. Who comes to us through others to even in this hour minister to our needs, lifting us up in prayer, encouraging us in the word of God, sending us spiritual and natural resources when we need it. It's through the angels of God, the ambassadors of God, that Jesus still comes to us to heal our broken hearts and our feeble bodies. It is through the saints of God that Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, who comes to wipe away the tears from our eyes. And we get back to the hymn, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Jesus is that kind of friend. It is not a common practice to find such an uncommon friend. A friend who has that Christ-like humility and does not think of himself or herself, and who will lay down their next agenda item to check on you and just see how you are doing. It's the type of humility where we deny ourselves and we take up our crosses and we follow the example of Christ's love to serve and become a living sacrifice for the benefit of others. You know, it's difficult for me, and perhaps you too, to even wrap my brain around the reality that for those who may be in seats of power and places of influence, that some same people may not be empowered fully with the Holy Ghost to lay aside their personal and private agendas to embrace the friendship exhibited by Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, was not a hireling. He was not a pay-to-pray pastor. He was not a pay-to-pray pastor. He is our true shepherd, the heart of a true leader, true servant leader. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, God said this. He said, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding. This morning, the Holy Spirit is sharing with me, sharing with you, in that same knowledge and with that same understanding in the liberty of Christ. That his pastor, the Lord's pastor, the Father's pastors are inspired to serve because they have heard his voice and have responded to his call to serve. They are not hirelings. They are not professional pastors, but they have been called to serve as watchmen and watchwomen on the tower, feeding you with knowledge and understanding. At times it's obvious, and yes, even beyond crystal clear, when a pastor is only motivated to serve, just to get something in return. Oh, you've got to pay me to serve you. The Holy Spirit is saying to you and to me that when we come to know the tree by the fruit it bears, that's the time for us to recognize that he or she may be your pastor, but that certainly ain't his pastor for you. He said, I will give you pastors. I will give you shepherds and not hirelings. I will give you true pastors and shepherds who are not motivated by greed or an alter ego. I'm going to give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jesus, when you look at it, Jesus did not require or demand any of the disciples, his friends in the ministry who had supper with him in the upper room, to pay him one Caesar coin to wash their feet. He did not have to get paid to perform the menial task in the role of a servant. Jesus was focused on enriching himself because he came to this earth to serve. He came here to meet our need according to his riches in glory. And even though, as we read in the text, his hour had come, and he knew that it was his time to depart out of the world and return unto the Father, even in his 11th hour, he was showing the disciples then, as he is showing us even now, by washing their feet, that true love to the end, and that love never fail. Love never fail. As I close, listen to the word with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Let her be your minister. Let them be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Let her be your servant. Let them be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Family, the thrust of the message today is simply this. Love acknowledges and never ignores. Love acknowledges and never ignores. Love doesn't ghost you. Love doesn't abandon you. Love doesn't tempt you. Love doesn't fleece you. Love doesn't take advantage of you. Love doesn't require you to give in order for you to get. Love simply acknowledges
and love never fails. And when we reach out to God, when we call God, when we pursue God, love calls us back. We have reached out to Him this morning, just like we reached out to Him last night. He has called us back. I just want you to know that He has called us back through His dear Son. And is sweetly reminding us in this hour that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Family, love simply acknowledges who we are, in spite of what we do, because love never fails. Amen. As we close out today,
yes.